Good to see each one of you. Invite you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And last Sunday, we took a look how in this psalm we have the layout here of facets of trusting in the Lord. In Psalm 37, verse number 1, the scripture says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And so here, last time, we took a look in verse number 3 about where the Lord, the psalmist writes, trust in the Lord, and we are to trust in the Lord. We talked about how this word, as we look at it, and its uses and definitions, to hide for refuge, to seek a place where we would have confidence of protection and security. That's another word that is used in this word, trust. A confidence, to have hope of being shielded and helped in every way. And so we looked at that last time, how we are to trust in the Lord. It's folly to trust in the world and the way of man, the scripture has told us. And there's no future in that. The device that you and I, the way that you and I would come up with naturally, what would make sense to us, there's no blessing or advantage to trust in that. What men would come up with, what the culture would come up with, there's no place, there's no blessing in trusting in that. Well, everybody's doing it. It's just the way it is amongst us these days. No, that's not to be trusted in, but to trust in the Lord and His will, His way, His word is where the blessing is for us. We also see here in this about the one that trusts in the Lord that the psalmist declares unto us in verse number 4, delight thyself also. So one has come to trusting in the Lord to have rest and security and confidence in Him, that the Lord has delivered, that the Lord will provide a refuge. Our sins have been forgiven. We're on our way to be with the Lord when this world passes. And the Lord has made us promises along the way that He will care for us and take care of us. And so in trusting in the Lord, one of those facets is to delight in Him, to delight in Him. We don't use that word delight often, at least I don't. I don't know about you. But it says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. This word is, in the Hebrew, it's got, as it's translated here in our King James Bibles, King James translation, delight thyself is the word. So, delight is a verb, and it's aimed at us, okay? So, we need to think of it in that way. That's not a delight, as it would be a noun. And I tell you, I'm the most terrible one to speak about English. But it's got a verb with a target, okay? And there's a term for that. I'll not even embarrass myself by trying to talk about it. But delight thyself. So the one that is trusted in the Lord is to delight themselves. And as we take a look at this particular word in the Hebrew, it's kind of a surprise of what it says. In definition, it talks about being soft or pliable. There are other English words translated to delight in the Scripture, that's more along the line of what we would define ourselves looking at the word delight. It also speaks about sporting ourselves. What does that mean? Well, I think the best way that we can understand that about sporting ourselves is a family's at home, little children, grandchildren. When a family is just there at home in the living room and we're kidding around or joking around, playing, with our children and that, they like to put on. They learn to talk. They learn to walk. They'll dance around. They'll kind of put on a show for us, right? That's what that meaning of sporting themselves. They're happy. They're secure. They have no thought of anything that's bad going to come to them at that time, and they're just really enjoying being there with family, cracking jokes and making funnies and just like I said, dancing around and having a good time, acting, we might say, just kind of acting foolish and enjoying ourselves, and not in a bad way. So delight thyself. Trusting in the Lord is to cause those that do so to delight thyself also in the Lord. The delight is within us, with we that have trusted the Lord, and that is where the delight is. And it's aimed at, it's directed at God Almighty to sport ourselves before Him. If we take a look at Noah Webster, he made a dictionary in 1828. It's closer to the time of our English translation here that we have and use. The definition here of that verb in the correct tense is to affect with great pleasure. Big smile on our face. To please highly. Like you might tell the little children that on a hot, hot day, we're going to have popsicles. And they get excited. They're happy. They look to the one that's made the promise. And they get more and more excited as you get closer to the freezer. I want to paint that picture. I want us to understand about that. To afford a satisfaction, high satisfaction or joy. That which makes us excited and encourages us. To receive great pleasure in. That's how Brother Noah Webster defined this word, delight. We saw last time in this of trusting the Lord, in verse number 11 of Psalm 37, and we saw the promise associated with trusting in the Lord there in verse number 3. The Lord said, "And trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. For the wicked, for the unbelieving, the unrepentant, there is hell and the lake of fire." Nothing. Not even the blessings of living in this life. But for the children of God, there's that new heaven and new earth. A land to live in. A land to enjoy. And one of the verses that I referred to in regards to this of trusting and the promise of the Lord with that is verse number 11. "But the meek shall inherit the earth." That's what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. "And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." So how would that be? To delight ourselves in the abundance of peace. We walk outside of our doors today, and granted, we're not experiencing the rioting and all the turmoil that's going on in different places in our nation. But how would you like that? That at your front door, it would be a thing where you would open the front door and you would look out. Maybe you just look out the crack to see what's going on before you would venture out there. You don't necessarily know if it's peaceful or if there's somebody out there that's going to do you harm. So maybe you look out the window instead before you open the door. "Well, those that trust in the Lord, the meek that will inherit the earth, shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." And anywhere you go, whatever you do, whoever you engage, it's going to be peaceful. when we're with the Lord in that new heaven and that new earth. To delight ourselves. I tell you what, it's a relief, isn't it? It's a relief. We don't have to think about, is there peace or is there no peace? There is peace in that day when we're with our Lord eternally and He's put down the wicked and the evildoer. So we have that reference relative to the last message and trusting to the Lord. But what is there in the Scripture maybe that can help us to understand about this word delight? And there are a handful of passages that I believe can. In Isaiah 55, a hallmark passage here, Brother Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Lord, tells us how it is, tells to the sinner, tells to the wicked and perverse nation of Israel how it is and what it is that they need. And this translates to you and I, and we that are here, and you that are here and not saved, what you need of the Lord. Listen to what the Lord says. These are His words in Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. Are you thirsty? Come ye to the waters. The Lord has them. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. What the Lord has is free. It's free. He's provided it. What's necessary, what's needed, the Lord has provided. You know what He says? Come on. Didn't we see that here recently, what the Lord says as a shepherd? He says, come on. Come on. That's what He says unto us. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? You try and you try and you work. And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Working and working and working. There's so many that are working to save themselves. And full reject the salvation that is free from the Lord. Accomplished by the Lord. Effectual by the Lord. Hearken diligently unto me. He says, listen, bend your ear over here, and listen to me. Hearken diligently to me. Hear it and believe it and trust it. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, His table, His provision, His drink. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. I've taken the Lord literally at that. I'm not as fat as I was. I've been losing some weight lately, and I pray you pray for me that I'll be able to keep on going. But what the Lord says, enjoy this. Enjoy this that I've provided. You get there, you sit down, you don't have to worry about anybody taking it away. You don't have to worry about it and consider. He says, delight yourself in the fatness, the richness of it, the goodness of it, the fulfilling of it, the blessing of it. I've got it here, and you don't have to pay for it. Come partake of it. That's the way it is with Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate meaning, and the ultimate end is you can't save yourself. You need the Lord. You need the Lord Jesus and what He has done. He is rich and full and effectual and faithful and has done all that's needed for sinners like you and I to be saved. But delight yourself in the fatness of it, the goodness of it. We sit down like at a time of Thanksgiving. And I tell you, just enjoy what the mothers, what the grandmothers, what the aunts and uncles and the sisters have fixed. And you just delight yourself. Oh, that's good. Oh, I've been looking forward to that. Pass that on down here. Well, after I get some. And then, I mean, you just delight in it. Looking forward to it. It makes your mouth water, right? To delight in it. And we get it there on our plate. And say, oh, this is so, so good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. In Isaiah 57, just a couple pages over, let's take a look over here. Trying to understand about this word delight. We trust in the Lord. Let us delight in Him. Let us delight in Him. In Isaiah 57, the righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. But merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Verses that well may apply, or a verse that may well apply in our day. He shall enter into peace They shall rest in their beds, each one waking, walking in his uprightness. Verse 3, but draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do ye sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? Now this passage is in the negative. He's talking to the wicked. He's talking about their forwardness and how they sport themselves, being bound up in this iniquity and everything amongst the children of men, just being. We live in a day that way where iniquity and wickedness of God, that what God has said, what God has laid down foundationally and basic, is being ignored. And said, and with justification made, that it's all okay because, after all, we're us and we know better. And so the point that we want to see here is how the word is used to sport yourselves. They, these that are described here, are working their wickedness, and they have no trepidation about it, no embarrassment about it, no fear about it. They just take it and promote it openly and widely. They sport themselves. Same word as delight. To be so forward. To be so out front with it. Not caring about what the Lord says. Not caring about where a church would stand about it. Another use of the word. It is in the negative, but we want to understand about the word. In Isaiah 58, another usage here, the Lord speaks in regard to proper fasting and fellowship with the nation, fellowship with Him and the subsequent blessing. The Israel had taken up to fast and had their religious order in their way, but they were far, far from honoring the Lord. And the Lord told him, said, I'm not looking for this outward observance. Again, I'm looking for broken hearts, contrition, desire of me. In Isaiah 58:14, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord when you do it right from brokenness and turning away from sin. Verse number 14 of Isaiah 58. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The Lord will answer and will respond to the true worship of His people. Not a facade, not a thing that puts on for everybody else, but what He knows is coming from the heart. And not feigned things for the sake of religiosity. In Isaiah 66, our Lord speaks regarding the birth, the salvation of Jerusalem, representing Israel, and the great blessings through her upon the Gentiles. Listen to how the Lord words this. Think of a little baby, little chubby, squishy baby, all right? Maybe going to toddler, okay? So the baby's big enough that the mama can carry him on her hip, okay? Listen to what he says here. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, speaking to the Gentiles, and be glad with her, Isaiah 66, verse 10. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. A nursing baby. I mean, they want to nurse and they want to get fed. I mean, they're ready for it. And then some of them will make little puppy sounds. They're so full. And they're just, I mean, they've got filled up. They're enjoying themselves. And that's the picture that the Lord's using to we Gentiles regarding the restoration of Jerusalem, the restoration of Israel. We will be blessed from the Lord's blessing upon her. That ye may be satisfied with the breast of her consolations, that ye may milk out, get full, and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. It'll continually flow. And the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne on her sides and be dandled upon her knees. That little baby is going to need to be burped. That's the picture that's being used. When that baby has filled up and has nursed and is just full and making those little grunting sounds, they are delighted. Smile on their face, being carried around by mama on the hip. That's what the Lord says will be with the Gentiles regarding the restoration, the salvation, the bringing back of Israel. And we will delight like that. And that's the picture that's painted that we might understand about the delight that we will have. The brethren pray for the peace and the help of Israel. And it's good for us to do so. She is the Lord's nation. You know, as it says, talking to a brother here recently about what it says in Romans 11:15, for the casting away of them, of Israel, be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them be but life from the dead? You know, and I tell you what, we Gentiles will rejoice in it. Our Savior came through there. Our Savior came through them. And we will delight in the Lord's blessings upon us. A few passages to help us understand about this word, delight. It's not exactly praise, but praise is involved. It's not all exactly enjoy, but enjoying is involved. It's not exactly joy, but joy is involved. We just kind of we're just kind of basking in it and expressing it. Delight. Delight. Are you and I a fan or a fanatic of anything? You know, fan is used to the positive, fanatic is used to the negative. Are you and I a fan or fanatic of anything or anyone? You know, think about it. When they, that or who we might be a fan or fanatic of, when they excel or accomplish, what do you and I do? Well, you pick what it is, a sport or something that is pursued in the world. Oh, we get excited, don't we? It always causes us to smile. We will yell out about it. I mean, last time you watched the sport of your choice, the team of your choice, the sportsman of your choice, or any kind of thing, the hobby of your choice, whatever it might be. You're there watching it on TV or maybe in person. And do we sit there stoic? No, we're rooting for who we're rooting for. And we yell out, don't we? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, yes. Right? Do we yell out? Do we rejoice? Do we smile? Do we remember about it? Oh, sure. I've seen it with us. We come together. Oh, did you see what happened the other day? Yeah, that was sorry. Okay, that's to the negative. Hey, did you see how they pulled it out? And we delight, don't we? That's it. We're that way. We remember, don't we? And you know what we do is we tell and we reminisce with others, don't we, about it. And thinking about this, how is it that we can see it and understand about this delighting? Well, I think an aspect can be found in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Take a look here. I mentioned about this last time. Quickly, we'll read it. Verse number 12, 2 Samuel 6, chapter 6, verse number 12. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord had blessed the house of Obed-Edom, and all that pertaineth unto him, because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. 2 Samuel 6:13. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone six steps, and there's a reason for that. We'll not get into it. He sacrificed oxen and fatlings, David did. And David danced. Here in our King James translation, the word is used as danced, and sometimes that causes some confusion of us amongst us. We wonder about that dancing. There are those that say that it could very well be that he played. He was a harp player. He could have had his harp out and playing. He was leaping and rejoicing and enjoying this wonderful thing. He danced before the Lord with all of his might. I mean, everything he had within him. And David was girded with a linen ephod. He had taken off any royal garments, any garments of warfare. He had set those aside. And in his simplicity, he rejoiced in the blessing of the Lord to bring the ark to Jerusalem. Again, there was some overhead here, some things that were being dealt with. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with the linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. I tell you what, don't let anybody dissuade you from delighting and rejoicing in your Lord. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place, and in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it, and David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, and even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to women the women as men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. He's rejoicing in the Lord and thankful. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today! You sure looked kingly. Who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaidens of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself." And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord, which chose me before my father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than thus, in her opinion, and will be base in mine own sight. And of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor." Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child in the day of her death. Michal despised what David had done, but David was delighting, rejoicing, praising, honoring and extolling his Lord for what he was doing. He took everything away from any praise and glory to himself, and he was giving it all unto the Lord. Greatest example I think we have in the Scriptures that gets us close to understanding of this, of delight. So many things were told in the Scriptures about rejoicing before the Lord. Regarding the Feast of Tabernacles in the book of Leviticus, the people there in that fall harvest celebration are told to rejoice, that they would rejoice before the Lord. Think about it. The food's been brought in. They're going to make it through winter. You know, we've lost that in our society. We just know it's going to be at the grocery store. But they brought in the harvest that the Lord had blessed with. And in that celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles, they would rejoice, "And ye shall rejoice before the Lord." Regarding the place where the Lord would cause his name to dwell, Jerusalem, the Lord said, "And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God there," several times. Regarding the Feast of Weeks, there in the spring, the first of the harvest in the spring of the wheat and the barley and so on, they were told that they would keep that Feast of Weeks leading up to Pentecost. And in that, they would wave the sheaf and bring the first fruits of that spring harvest, of grain harvest, before the Lord. And the Lord says, and thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God. He's blessed. There's bread to get us on through the planting season. And they were told and did rejoice before the Lord. Regarding the day that they were, the children of Israel, to pass over Jordan into the land promised, that they would offer peace offerings when they crossed over Jordan and set up that pillar. They would offer peace offerings, they would eat there, and they would rejoice in the Lord thy God for the new land, the promised land that the Lord would give them. And then in Psalm 68, the psalmist writes, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, and let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. Psalm 68, verses 1 through 5. To rejoice before him exceedingly for his great deliverance, for his great comfort, for the great God that he is. In our text, in Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord. We haven't dealt with it much, but this promise, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I ask you, brothers and sisters, do we delight or do we endure? I know that's pretty tough, but you know, we need to face tough things. Do we delight? Or do we just endure? Yes, we have the Lord as our Savior, and yes, the Lord requires things of us. And yes, we need to obey Him, because He is a chastising Father if we do disobey Him. And we need to be faithful in the things that He's called us to and given us to do, all those things being true. And sometimes when we're down, we just need to do what we know we need to do. But do we delight in Him? Do we delight in Him like we do with the things of the world? Do we rejoice in Him? Do we tell Him so? Can it be seen in us? I'm speaking to us all together. I'm speaking to me too. Do we delight or do we endure? What was the desire of those that delight in the Lord? For our Lord Jesus, again, the example is to obey Him, isn't it? To obey Him. Those that trust in the Lord and delight in Him, we do so by obeying Him, to be near Him, to see His glory, to rejoice in Him and His. You know, one aspect of this is our worship services. Our worship services will be what you and I make of them. To delight in them. To delight in the call of the Lord to assemble together and use the opportunity to worship Him and to sing praise unto Him and rejoice in Him for what He's done. Or we can just put in our time and endure. Got that done. We'll come back Wednesday. Lord, help us. We are subject to this because of this old flesh, the way of the world, all that the world screams into us. We can get backslidden. Go our own way, backslidden even in heart. We need to delight in Him, don't we? Because He has done for what He has done and for what he is. You know, I believe David delighted indeed in the Lord, didn't he? And we see that manifested. You know what? You know what David wrote? And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He was king. If we understand the book of Ezekiel right, David will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He will. He will during the millennial reign, and I believe he'll have his place because he delighted and desired the Lord. You know what? I believe Brother Moses delighted in the Lord. In Exodus chapter 33, verse number 18, you know what Moses said unto the Lord? I beseech thee, I beg thee, show me thy glory. You think Moses delighted in the Lord? Indeed he did. He wanted more of the Lord and more of the Lord and more of the Lord. The Lord told him, said, you can't see my face and live, son. But what I'll do is I'll show you my hinder parts. I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. I'll put my hand over top of you, and when I pass by and my glory passes by, then you'll be able to see the hinder parts of me. Moses delighted in the Lord. He wanted more of the Lord. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to obey, to be near Him, to desire to be near Him, to see His glory, to rejoice in Him and His. You know, it's the same thing, and I know I'll wear this verse out, but it's so true. It's so rich. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Because as we learn, we will delight if we truly learn about Him. We will delight in Him. Oh, we've been brought so far. We must learn of Him to delight in Him. When we learn of Him, may we indeed delight in Him and praise Him and glorify Him and bask in every attribute that He has, and all that He has done, is doing, and has promised to do. Let us delight in Him because we trust in Him. And what's the promise? Well, right there in verse 4 of Psalm 37, He'll give us the desire of our heart. May the Lord help us and bless us with His word.